Welcome to Inside the Art House, the go-to destination for cinephiles and the number one place for art house cinema and filmmaker conversations. Each week, today's most visionary filmmakers pull back the curtain on the art of cinema, sharing how stories are made and why they matter. Hosted by Greg Lemley of the legendary Lemley Theaters, a family that shaped the movie business for over a century, and Raphael Sparge, actor and award-winning director. Together, they explore the creative process, the struggles, and the triumphs behind the camera and the bold ideas shaping film today. From indie debuts, documentaries, to international art house cinema, Inside the Art House dives deep into a world where passion meets craft and where the love of film lives loud. Inside the Art House, conversations with today's most visionary filmmakers. Listen or watch wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's got two thumbs and knows there's only one dimension? Well, to be fair, I have several dozen thumbs in digital storage on level 8, but they're not exactly germane to this snappy metaphor. Ugh, I can already hear the angry letters. And now, enjoy the show.
Tavern, a weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp. If you've never listened to the podcast before, don't worry. This is everything you need to know. When I was in high school, I had a dream. And I was in the high school, and all the girls were looking at me. And I could sing, but my voice was all over the place. And my mom was there, and, you know, I'm not going to classify how attractive she was.
But, no.
But anyway, besides that, also, about 2.5 years ago, I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical, fantastical land of Foon. Luckily, I'm still getting a slight Wi-Fi signal from the Burger King through the dimensional rift, and I use that to upload a podcast I record every week here in the tavern, the Vermilion Minotaur, which is full of secrets, in the town of Hog's Face, in the land of Foon. We've been kind of fighting the Dark Lord, but currently he put us in charge of the town of Hog's Face and all of his minions. We're trying to make it better, and we're trying to find a secret weapon to fight the void. Usador and Chunt, have I kind of covered all the sort of big story things?
Yes, in great detail.
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure most people have shut off the podcast at this point.
I think you left out how attractive your mom was.
In the dream, other people seem to say that my mom was hot. But, you know.
H-A-W-T? Hot or hot?
Hot. But I don't like to dwell on that part. Not even in, like, that it's a weird kind of way. It's just sort of like, why do I need to classify how attractive or unattractive my mother is? That's fair. An attractive woman, so certainly.
That's fair.
Yeah. Chunt, how attractive was your mom? Your mom's a manticore?
She's a manticore. To me, she's a 10. Perfect 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, both parents.
What makes a manticore attractive? Like, I know you are a shapeshifter who's been a few different animals, but mostly you're a talking badger.
No.
How do you classify what makes different kinds of animals more or less attractive?
I think it's whatever their physical ambition is in terms of, like, my mom's a manticore, so she wants to terrify, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of presenting a terrifying visage, she's a 10. Right?
Yeah.
She gets the job done.
Nothing more attractive than being good at what you do.
Exactly.
Now you said that your father was also a 10,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yep.
Now, was that a 10 when he's alive, and then he's a 5 once he became a ghost?
Because he's about
half. He's transparent.
Yes.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
okay. Good, mm-hmm. good.
So he's, I see.
You can see right through him, so he's only a 5.
Yeah. And he's not a transparent, he's transparent.
Oh, yeah, oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get it. Usador the Wizard.
Yes? That was a strange transition.
You don't have any parents.
No.
I mean, besides the birds and the wind?
No, I was brought forth into this world by a conspiracy of birds and rain and fire and wind. They did say there must be a champion of this world, and I did step forth into the light and say, yea, Usador is here. He shall protect all the small children and men and women, and he shall fight and fight and fight until his last breath. Aye, he shall destroy that Dark Lord with all the power that doth rest within him, and he shall overcome. He shall fight on and on and on, and ne'er shall he even end this sentence until he is certain that he is going to win.
Yeah, but how hot was that rain?
I'd give it like an 8.
At the very least, the fire must have been hot.
The fire was literally hot. And also, I found myself sexually aroused by it.
Oh, that's got to be confusing to be sexually aroused by the fire that was part of a conspiracy to bring you into this world.
Where were the elements of bringing you into the world? You don't have the same sort of relationship that you understand that you have with your parents. It was more of an agreement, conspiracy. They said, step forth into this world, mighty wizard, and protect us all. And I was like, all right. And I gave him a big thumbs up. And then I said, catch you later, fire and wind and rain and birds. And I, naked, did grab a staff from the ground and say, I must find some robes and a pointy hat.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's like the same thing that happened with me. It's like, that's how I was brought into the world.
Usador.
That's my name. Don't wear it out. You know, the elves know me as a sentimental gentleman.
Usador.
No.
Usador, we're busy right now. We're doing the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just heard you from across the bar, and I heard, you know, Usador talking about how he was brought forth into the world, and I just thought, you know, same.
How were you brought into the world?
Same wizard, same. I was brought into the world through fire and rain and earth and wind.
Earth, wind, and fire?
Yeah, those basic three.
Huh. Okay.
So you're claiming that you're actually a wizard?
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually a wizard. I mean, I don't have as many of the spells maybe that you have, or like maybe I have somewhat different spells, but different doesn't equal lesser, you know?
Usador, we get a lot of emails with people having theories about who you are or how you came into existence or what you're really about, but I've got to say, I'm just not that invested in any of that at all.
Yeah, no, that checks out. All right, well, I'll see you guys. Thanks for stopping by.
Goodbye, Usador.
Usador, isn't it weird how Usador comes over and he always tells us this, thanks for stopping by, but it's like he's stopping by.
And yes, and I never say thank you for stopping by because I am unappreciative of his interjections.
I feel like that's the same of like sometimes if I order rooster's feet and the waiter sets it down, they're like, enjoy your food. And I go, you too. It's like whoopsie.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. We should order some rooster's feet and a round of ale for everyone at the table.
Usador, before I introduce our first guest, I kind of want to ask, when the birds and the wind and the fire...
And the earth?
Usador.
Oh, sorry.
Usador.
Thanks for stopping by, guys.
Yeah.
We'll see you.
Usador. When they all conspired to bring you into existence, did they all then go their separate ways afterwards? Or was the fire and the birds like, you know what, we've got to keep in some kind of a relationship because now we have a wizard?
Again, I think you're putting a traditional parental relationship upon this. It is not exactly a one-for-one correlation.
So they weren't like, we've got to stay together at least until he gets to the Great Halls of Tarakas. And when he goes away to the Great Halls of Tarakas, then I can go back to the sky and I can go back to wherever fire goes.
See, that's the other thing about all of these elements are already working in unison. See, your human parents come together and decide to join a union. All of these elements, wind, fire, rain, earth, birds, they are just part of nature. They
the
cannot
natural
be,
elements.
They cannot be separated.
And don't forget heart. There's wind, earth, fire, heart, earth, and when those all combine,
Usador, don't
that
talk
harms my parent.
Usador, don't talk about heart. Look, I'm trying to understand. You're a magic man, but please, please, we got a podcast to do.
All right. Is today Saturday? I should be in the park.
For if ever those elements that did conspire to put me together were to decide to divorce and go their separate ways, all of the world would be torn asunder.
You know what, Usador? Maybe it would feel that way if the elements that brought you into existence decided to have a divorce. You'd feel like the world was coming to an end.
But
the world is going to be all right.
No.
And it's tough. And I know it would be tough for you. And it's not your fault, Usador.
Look, I don't want to do two different winter solstices.
It's not about...
I can't do a winter solstice with the birds and a winter solstice with the mud. I can't do it.
Look, Usador, sometimes it's hard for birds and fire. Sometimes it's just very hard for birds and fire to get along over long periods of time.
Yes.
There's a lot of reasons it's difficult for them.
A lot of times the birds just burn.
Yeah. You know what? It's fine for the fire, but you know what? The birds needed to get out of that.
Then the birds are delicious. Once you set them on fire, they're delicious.
Aren't you guys?
I love birds.
Aren't you guys forgetting your guest?
Oh, that's right, Tusador. And I'm also forgetting Chun. Chun, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I mean, I've been chiming in a little bit.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, absolutely. I love you, buddy.
I love you, too.
I love you, too.
Tusador, that
get
was not
here.
For you.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Guys, I am very excited to talk to our guest. We don't have enough, like, crazy creatures on the show. You know what I mean?
What the fuck does that mean? We don't have enough crazy creatures?
Yeah, what the fuck does that mean?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm from a different world. Yeah, we have a cockatrice on the show. Am
shit.
I saying
is that?
Is
that our guest?
Shield your eyes.
Shield my eyes?
Yes. The cockatrice can look at you and then destroy you with but a single look.
What?
Oh, I was going to
say. She has a death stare.
Death stare?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
It's true. It's like kind of our thing. But you guys actually, you don't have to worry about it. I've kind of got a little bit of an astigmatism. So my death stare is not at full power these days.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Whew.
I was concerned because I was going to say we should cancel the rooster suit.
Oh, yeah.
No, I love those.
Oh.
Yeah. I have some really creepy uncles that are actually Snake from the top and Rooster from the bottom, mm-hmm. and I don't mind thinking about eating them at all.
Oh, wow. Wonderful. Snake up top.
Party on the bottom.
Party on the bottom, yeah.
For me, it's like when you get the bird up top and the snake on the bottom, then you're all business.
Yeah. So for our listeners from my world, they're probably a very small fraction of people even know what a cockatrice is.
Weird.
So wait, would that be butt sob?
But what?
Butt sob? Bird up top, snake on bottom?
Yeah, you do. That's the correct terminology for that.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I really like that. Sorry, butts I just want to... I really like butt sob. Sorry, what were you saying? About this
like,
crazy creature?
You like butt sob and you cannot lie.
Big butt sob.
Big butt sob. I'm a big butt sob fan. Guys, so your name is Patrathion? Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, that's true. It's Patrathion, but you can just call me Patty.
Oh, Patty. That's so much easier for me, I have to confess. And so... You're like a rooster head and like a lizard body, and you got these sort of adorable leathery wings.
Oh yeah, I can definitely fly.
Oh wow, they're kind of small.
They are. I mean, if the technical term for me is janky dragon.
Oh.
That's sort
Gee,
of
yeah.
Yeah. So
sure.
Think of like a petite janky dragon with a death stare.
Yeah.
And I happen to have an astigmatism, but we won't.
That's true. What is the astigmatism do to your death stare?
Well, I hope none of you are painters because I haven't been able to actually kill a thing with my stare, but I have been able to kill someone's ability to want to paint.
Oh.
So it's just sort of a selective death.
Yeah.
I don't have total control over it. It's been hard, it's been hard to sort of live with my disability. Other cockatrices don't really look kindly on it, honestly.
Yeah.
They think they're better than me because they can kill you completely.
Yeah, it's gotta be tough. It's so snobby of them to look down on you for not being able to do one of the defining things of what makes
you.
Well,
I don't let them look down on me because then I would die.
Oh, yes. Can cockatrices death stare each other?
Yes, and in fact, most of us can't even look in the mirror.
Oh.
Which is really hard on our rooster faux hawks.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Yours looks good, though.
I know. Well, I can look in the mirror. I just, don't have any creative endeavors anymore because I've looked in the mirror one too many times. So killed my ability to paint, my desire to make an indie emo band, killed my desire to become a pastry chef. But, my hair looks great.
It
so
does.
That's an upside.
I feel like that's a bit of a Ouroboros. Like, that's a bit of a snake eating its own tail when you kill your drive to create an indie emo band. Like, doesn't that give you the the sort of sadness to create an indie emo band? Right?
Yeah, but then, you know, when you go to do your first show, the first thing you want to do is make sure that you have the great shoegazing outfit. You look in the mirror, and then you're like, I don't even want to do this gig anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's tough. It's tough.
Too bad that hair would be so good in an emo band.
Thank you.
Band.
Thank you.
When you did have a drive to be in an emo band, did your band have a name?
It did have a name. It had multiple names.
Oh, I'd love to hear five of them.
Great. The No Yes was one of them.
Oh, one.
But pronounced The Noise.
The Noise. Oh, good.
Yeah, that was my first one. That died very quickly.
Yeah.
When I looked in my mirror in high school. Another one is actually called Fuck Me and My Snake Parts.
Two.
I'm sorry.
Sometimes a band's name is so good, it doesn't even matter what the music is.
Right. And honestly, that was also the name of our first album and the first single. And those were actually the only lyrics that I had ever written.
You know what? That now, if I'm looking back to 10 years ago and someone I knew that the shirt they wore, that makes so much sense now.
Yeah. I just imagine someone seeing a concert in a tavern being like, I love this song. What's this song? Oh, Fuck Me and My Snake Parts. I love it. What's the name of the band? Oh, it's also Fuck Me and My Snake Parts.
It's good branding.
Yeah,
just makes
absolutely.
It easy.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of my band names was just Ochre.
Oh, three.
Yeah, three. I feel like that just the feeling of that color, you know?
Yeah.
And then Singing in the Rain.
Singing in the Rain, four.
Four,
yes.
Would you only put on concerts during the rainfall?
The idea was we would wait until it rained and then it would be sort of like a pop-up show.
Yeah.
So if you went outside and I happened to be in your neighborhood, I would be singing there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know what? It would be nice because you'd be bummed that it's raining and then be like, oh, but that band I like is probably going to be playing.
Right.
That's awesome.
Right.
Arnie on Earth, who's the biggest independent emotional band?
The most independent emotional band?
I said the biggest, but...
The
most well-known independent emotional band.
Oh, is that what indie means?
That's what indie and emo mean.
Oh, the most independent emotional band is,
Come on, give me some sort of confessional.
Oh, I don't know. If you could maybe give me a few more criteria for what you're looking for.
Oh, you're having a real fallout. Boy, oh boy.
Gosh, I'm having trouble thinking of any. I'm sure there are a lot of them. Like, what are you looking for?
Just
like
the biggest independent emotional band on Earth.
Okay.
What am I going to have to wait for the postal service? Are you sending it snail mail? Come on.
Yeah, I don't think there are any.
Oh, now Eustor's sad.
Eustor, are you okay?
I had a big surprise planned for the show. And
what was your big surprise?
Now I don't even know if I want to do it.
Is this about your...
Here's a bowl of salsa that I made.
Oh, Eustor.
That has grapes in it. I thought I'd try something new. I've really been into salsa lately, and all of a sudden I don't care about it at all anymore.
Oh, no, did you catch my eye accidentally?
Oh, no.
She killed your salsa creativity.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Oh, God. But Eustor has been making salsa for months now.
Yes, but
he won't stop talking about it.
It was such a wonderful part of the podcast where I would talk about the various salsa recipes that I adore. But now I just don't care about it at all.
Also, grapes and salsa? Yum.
So sorry. I didn't realize you had a talent for dips.
It's all right. There's no way you could have known, and I should have protected myself. I have only myself to
blame. I'm just sad that this whole dip shtick is coming to an end. But Patty!
Yeah?
You've killed the creative desires of a lot of your friends?
Yeah, most people who come in contact with me end up, you know, feeling a little dead inside.
Wow. Well, luckily, this podcast is not a creative endeavor and is more of a hard documentary-style look at life in this world. You know, if this was just like a comedy goof-around show...
You would be totally screwed. I mean, the good thing is I don't have enough power to kill the truth.
Yeah.
And that's what you guys are telling.
Yeah. Luckily, you can't stop the truth.
No.
That's great.
But you can stop the music.
Oh, that's right.
Please don't stop the music.
Patty.
Yeah.
I hesitate to ask this, but what was that fifth band name?
Oh, the fifth band name?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. You wanted five. The fifth band name was... How much?
Oh,
it was five. There were at least 16 O's in there.
Oh.
And it was just how much.
Now, Patty, I must know, do you find now that you don't have your death stare that there are other things that you want to accomplish in the world? You can't take the path of a normal cockatrice of waiting in a dungeon for some adventurer to come along and fight you to your death. So what fills up your time now?
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to avenge yourself when you can't just look at something you hate and kill it.
True.
So I found that I have to cultivate other things. I've had to cultivate, you know, a good sense of self. Therapy is one of my favorite things to do.
Oh.
Yeah, I go to a lot of therapy. I have a great therapist, you guys, if anyone needs a recommendation.
Oh, yes, please. Yeah. I think Arnie would.
I know. I just need a place I can go every week to just sort of talk. You know? I feel like I don't have a place I can go every week where I can just talk and talk for about 40 to 50 minutes, mostly about myself.
Yeah, people need that. Yeah. I can sense from you that you might need like a little bit of talk therapy.
I got a dream. I just need to talk about some more. But we don't need to do that now.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think my parents might be breaking up.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's going to be heavy.
Yes. I mean, I'm 320 years old, but you never get over a thing like that.
It's true.
Wait, how are your parents breaking up?
Well, Arnold convinced me that the bird and the wind and the fire and the rain and the frogs and the mud that all did conspire to bring me into this world aren't really good for each other.
Oh, I must have missed that.
I bet the frogs and the mud, though, are doing great. I bet the frog, at the very least, the frogs and the mud are staying together.
Do you think so?
I guess so.
Thank you, Arnold.
You're welcome, Isidore.
Patty, I don't know if this is helpful or not, and I don't know if it would work out, but my mom is a manticore. I'm not saying that that's, you know, tomato, tomato, but she's a highly magical creature, and I know for a fact that at her home on one of the high shelves, she has a book of spells and even plans for some spells in terms of, like, I mean, if you want to get rid of this death stare, if you want to, like, blow it up, I could steal the plans for the death stare, and we could blow it up, and we could end it.
Oh,
and that way
God.
You just don't have a death stare.
Wait, you were going to blow up the plans for the death stare so that no one has a death stare?
Couldn't they just rebuild the death stare?
I feel like they could rebuild the death stare
right
after. I
guess this does have a few plot holes.
Because if you have the plans...
Yeah.
You can just rebuild it,
I didn't think this through.
Even
I was so excited to get it out. I didn't. There's so many
even
holes.
If you don't have the plans for the death stare, I mean, you're just like, well, we figured out how to make a death stare the first time. We'll eventually make another... fairly similar death stare.
It's a very good point.
I didn't think it through. I'm sorry.
Yeah. They should make some individualized death stares for the gym.
Well.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, just everyone has their own personalized death stare.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be just magical creatures like me who get a death stare. It should be everyone should get to exercise their right to the death stare.
You get one a day. You get to kill one person with a stare.
Just one person every day.
Like, you cross the line. You're out of here.
Yeah. But, you know, I've thought about doing something about it, you know, like getting a LASIK spell. But,
what's this now?
A LASIK spell.
Oh, what's that?
But, you know, it's like a spell that sort of corrects your astigmatism.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, for people like me.
Is just, that scary, though?
I know. It's like some people say it works great, and then... some of us...
statistically, like, can it go wrong?
Yeah, there's a 96% good that it's going to go good.
That's good.
Yeah.
But still, I like to look on the dark side of things.
Sure,
so
that 4%.
That 4% is what really scares me.
Yeah.
It's perfectly safe. They use a spell to pull back the top layer of your eyes.
Ooh.
And then they use magic to shoot a magical light directly into your eyes.
Uh-huh.
And then for a couple of weeks, you can't really see, and then you're fine.
Oh,
that's how
magic
works.
Man, I'm as long as I live, I'll never understand magic. Well, you know, 4%, what happens to those 4%, though? Like, what happens to a cockatrice's eyes if
Well, sometimes you get something called hypervision, which means you're so good at having a death stare that you basically just decimate everything around you without intention, and that's tough.
No, you have to get, like, some... red goggles or something to put over your eyes at all times so your death stare doesn't just blast everybody.
Yeah, or, you know, blind yourself. You could also do that.
Oh, yeah.
That's sort of a permanent thing you can do.
Yeah.
But and some people just never get their death stare back at all, which is, you know...
it's sad.
It's sad.
Yes.
It's sad.
Do you believe that you can live without a death stare?
You know, I had never even thought about the possibility of being alive without being able to kill something. That's a really deep question.
Also, I might point out, you could kill something without your death stare. You have terrifying claws.
I do.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, you
really?
Are. Yeah. You're a janky dragon.
Yeah. I am a janky dragon.
And a janky dragon's still a dragon.
I can fly. I could smother with my leather wings.
That's true.
You have a beak to tear away somebody's face.
Mm-hmm. I could definitely rip through, you know, someone's sternum.
Yeah.
Would take a while.
Sure, but it would
It would take a definite while, but maybe if I, like, restrained them first, I could just peck away until...
Yeah,
peck away, yeah.
Patty, I have faith that you can murder.
Yeah, you got it.
You got it, kiddo.
I had never thought about this. I would be being so myopic about my death stare.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yes. Like, myopic about your death stare.
There
exactly.
are so many other ways to kill things.
Yes,
time to be biopic about the ways you can kill. Or triopic. Or fouropic.
Five-opic?
Five-opic, even.
Let's go ahead and take a break.
So, Patty, what is it like living amongst cockatrices? I mean, maybe that's a silly question. That's just what your life is. But, like, do cockatrices all live together in, like, a cockatrice town or a village?
Yeah. You know, it's sort of like everyone has their own coop.
Oh.
They're all lined up next to one another.
Sure.
The coops are open on the top.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's sort of easy in and out access. But you're always free to, you know, go next door to your neighbor's coop and grab some hay.
Yeah.
You know?
If you don't want to take up that much space, can you get, like, a little mini coop?
You can.
Oh.
I actually, I sleep in a mini coop.
Oh, that's great. I bet it's adorable looking.
It's so adorable. It has a little dashboard in it, which is wonderful. You can sort of put your handgun inside of it.
You don't want to give a confessional, are you sure?
I don't have any confessionals about dashboards. No, absolutely. So this dashboard inside your mini coop, is that just a little board that you do things quickly on?
Yeah, that's where, you know, like I said, it does have one drawer to hide your handgun. Uh-huh. But
what's a handgun?
A handgun?
Yeah.
Oh, it's, us cockatrices don't have hands.
Yeah.
We have talons.
Yeah.
So, like, sometimes you might want to have a hand because it's nice to have a little bit of applause, a little bit of feeling good. So it's like you have your handgun, you take in your talon, and it gives you, like, a little...
Oh, that is nice.
And you shoot each other applause because you can't really make eye contact with each other. You know, like a human can look you in the eye and be like, oh, good job. But cockatrices can't do that. So we have our little handgun. We sort of shoot out some applause when we like what someone says.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I like that.
And I'm glad you brought it along to show us.
Yeah, I did.
I love the sound.
I don't leave my house without my handgun.
You don't. Although I gotta tell you though, I think you're not allowed to bring that applause into this tavern.
And
Hogsface has some rules about certain places of businesses can choose whether you can bring your
applause.
Well,
I conceal my handgun when I bring it into places.
No.
People don't know that I'm going to compliment them.
I know. I get it. I understand why you would want that, but...
What is she supposed to do if somebody, you know, does a good job with a talent or something? Like, she's just supposed to not shoot them an applause?
Well, you know what? There are other people that can applaud, you know?
What if... There's some sarcastic butthead who comes in and starts clapping, and then our hero doesn't have her handgun.
You always need a good cockatrice with a handgun
to fight
bad guy.
Yeah, the only way...
With bad ideas.
Yeah.
Someone's going...
Yeah.
Then you'll come out with a good clap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only way.
It's the only way.
Boy, I've always had this theory that... That handguns were meant as a replacement for an ineffective cockatrice. If only my cockatrice worked better, I wouldn't need this handgun, but...
Well, the bigger the cockatrice, the smaller the handgun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they, you know, feel like they have little status, so they don't want to sort of...
Yeah.
They don't feel the need to give other people applause to be liked.
Yeah, it's true. Are you worried you're just going to accidentally applaud yourself?
Well, yeah, I'm a small cockatrice, so I have a huge handgun to compensate for it. And, sometimes I'm worried I'll just, get that applause out and make myself feel so good that I just give up.
Yeah.
Too much applause,
That's
you know?
True. That is true.
It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing, positive reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
We can't give people too much.
You know, in Hog's Face, Usador and Chutnai are kind of like the local government now. Like, we've been put in charge of Hog's Face and all of the evil minions that the Dark Lord left
here. Congratulations.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to do the best we can for Hog's Face. And I just think that, like, it seems like it's a good thing for you to have that applause gun just for us. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you want to keep it so you can applaud us.
Right.
Just in case you need to applaud the government.
I'll protect you.
Yeah. Oh, great. Fantastic.
Also, I ran to the bar here and I got you, I don't know if you know this, Vermilion Minotaur serves a killer Cabernet for this attractive young lady. You might say it's a death cab for cutie.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Well, drink up. Enjoy.
I will. I'm going to just dip my beak in it. That's fine, right?
Yeah, of course.
Because, you know.
I've been loving all of these.
Arnie, look. She dips her beak into it. She pulls back.
Yeah.
And then a few seconds later, she dips forward again, dips her beak in, pulls back, and she just keeps going back. It's like a perpetual motion.
It's very relaxing to watch you do that.
Thank you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Once I start drinking, I can't stop. It is true.
Oh, boy. I'm the same way.
Oh, yeah. Fuck me and my snake parts. That is how I live. It's, yeah. Binge drinking.
Patty, what are your parents like?
My parents.
Yeah. Are they still together? Are they still even alive? I don't know how long cockatrices live.
Are they attractive?
My parents in their day were very attractive. Mm-hmm. But as you know, we're janky dragons, so we don't last quite as long. Cockatrices live to be about 40 or 50 years old.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's not a super long time. And we're kind of solitary creatures. We live in a coops that are next to one another, but we don't tend to cohabitate because it's really hard to live with someone and not give them a death stare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we tend to sort of hit it and quit it. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my mom and my dad, they were two very attractive cockatrices who got together sometime in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
And in order to become a cockatrice, it has to be a cock's egg. So my dad laid me.
Oh, and that's a sentence that I don't
because
love.
You know.
But I get it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cock egg. Eggs cock laid egg? By the female cockatrice just become chickens.
Oh, okay. So do you have a fair number of chicken siblings then?
I do have some.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of estranged.
Sure.
You know,
not a lot in common, probably.
Yeah.
Except for your heads.
Yeah, we have our heads in common, but otherwise it's like they can't fly.
Yeah.
They don't have a death stare.
Yeah.
They don't have a death stare.
When you say
they get up too early in the morning.
So where do these cock eggs come? Where do they come out? I don't understand
out of
how.
His cock.
Out of his cock?
Yeah.
Out of a cock?
Yeah, it's not even a double entendre. It's just like you're a male cockatrice, you have a cock, and the egg comes out of your cock.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta say, that's gotta ruin that cock. Right? I mean,
I think ruin is a little bit harsh.
Loosen, maybe?
Perhaps it's a part of the natural process, and it doesn't go back to exactly the same shape, but I'm sure it's still beautiful. I would love to see that cock.
Yeah. Let's just say maybe the diameter of your urine stream would change slightly.
Do you feel like your father was self-conscious about his cock after giving birth to you?
Definitely. A lot of male cockatrices lay that cock egg, and then, you know, they feel like they have to take some time to get back in the game.
Sure.
Some of them have surgery to retighten.
Oh, yeah.
That cock, you know, because it's like you have to find a new mate. You're not going to just stick with the old one because we don't really stay together. So it's like you got to stay attractive if you're
gotta
a male
cockatrice.
Got to
keep that cock tight. Yeah, got
to
keep that cock
male cockatrices, they have to keep that cock tight.
True.
You know? It's kind of a double standard. It's unfair, but it's like, hey,
Arnie,
you get the pleasure of laying that egg.
Yeah.
So you should also have the pleasure of making yourself attractive again.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Arnie,
exactly.
Can our next t-shirt be keep that cock tight?
Keep that cock tight.
That's actually a great name for an emo band.
That would
keep
be
that cock
six.
Tight.
Yeah. Keep that cock tight. So, Patty, thank you so much for coming by. I knew nothing about cockatry, and now I...
We know the cockatruth.
I know the cockatruth.
You know the cockatruth.
Yeah,
thank you, guys.
You can't kill the cockatruth.
No, thank you.
Except you can kill cockatry with a death stare.
You can.
Yeah.
handle the cockatruth.
And we're sure we don't want to steal the plans to blow up the Death Stare. We're sure?
Would you feel better about not having a Death Stare if no one else had a Death Stare?
That's a real catch-22 because I feel like Death Stares are what makes the world so beautiful because it gives some people something to strive for.
Yeah.
So if you took away the Death Stare, then would there even be good in the world?
That is so
Would there be
deep.
Life without a Death Stare?
Oh, man. Arnie, do you have Catch-22s on Earth?
There's a book called Catch-22 on my world. What does Catch-22 mean on Foon?
That's when you have, you know, so many thoughts at once, usually around 20 to 22, that you try and kind of catch them all to digest them.
Oh, wow.
To really process them.
But it's really impossible to do. Mm-hmm. It's very, very difficult.
It's
a bit of a loop, yeah.
You can catch at least 21 thoughts at once, but 22 is like the last number.
The
you
last
can't.
One.
And if you catch 21, then you forever stay that age.
Forever 21?
Oh. I'm going to go throw this salsa in the garbage.
The last thing I want to do is to get Usador back into doing salsa, but he seems so bummed about it. Patty, is there any cure for the creative Death Stare or the Death Stare in general?
No, it's a permanent thing.
Oh.
He has to find something new.
Oh, okay.
He has to make it new again.
He needs to make peace with it.
Yeah. Mm. It's sad to say, but I think his salsa days are over.
Yeah. Sort of like if there was some kind of procedure he could have done to pull back his creative love for salsa and shoot a laser into it and make it so that he could do that again. Maybe he should just instead come to terms with the fact that that's not there.
Keep that creative cock tight. I have an email here.
Wait, Patty.
Yes.
Have you killed Chun's ability to do segues? I think you death stared away his ability to do a segue.
No, I've never been able to do that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You're right. Can't kill something that was never born.
I have an email here from Lily. This is to chun@gmail.com. That's chun with six T's. Lily says, "Hey, team, how's it going? I've recently taken up baking, and I feel like I've hit a recipe wall. Would Usador be so kind as to tell us his favorite cake recipe?"
Oh?
So Lily's creatively out of ideas for cakes. Usador, would you...
Yeah, well, yes.
A cake recipe? Do you like recipe? Baking cakes? I mean,
I love baking cakes.
Do you have an interesting cake recipe for Lily?
Yes. Take 17 eggs, 8 pounds of flour, put them all into a bowl, put a gallon of milk in there, put also a little bit of sugar, a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of clove, and then mix it all together. Pour it all over your oven, and then you'll have a cake in the shape of your oven.
There you have it.
Great. Patty, is the Death Stare purely a visual thing, or can it be sent, like, over an audio format? Like, could someone listening to this podcast be in danger of losing a creative drive to do something?
Just by listening to the sound of my voice?
Just by listening to the sound of your eyes.
The sound of your eyes. Holy shit, that's the name. That's the band.
That's the name.
That's...
The sound of your eyes.
I have to not look in the mirror for the next 15 years and really make this happen until I'm selling out stadiums.
Maybe you didn't.
Look at my eyes.
Maybe you didn't kill your desire to be in an emo band. Maybe you were just waiting for the right name.
The perfect name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys.
It's time to stop death staring and start life staring. Get busy. Life staring.
Guys, this is really, honestly, beautiful.
Yeah.
Patty?
Yes?
Next time we see you, we expect to hear a full album's worth of songs.
I look forward to meeting you guys with closed eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Closed eyes, closed hearts, can't lose.
It's true.
Closed eyes, closed hearts,
can't lose.
Closed eyes, closed hearts, can't lose. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
Considering the sexual innuendo, how we got through that episode without the phrase cockatrice company is a minor Christmas miracle.
Usidor the Wizard was played by Matt Young. With his usual level of Siri search the source for variations on not good enough and insert the meanest. Shaunt the Badger was played by Adil Rafai. Did you spot the moments when Adil stopped thinking of wordplay enough to actually listen? Trick question, there weren't any. Patty the Cockatrice was played by special guest Laura Gray. When Laura's not appearing as a citizen journalist on Comedy Central's The Opposition with Jordan Klepper, she enjoys keeping things nice around the house, putting together fun outfits in front of her three-way mirror, cross-stitching inspirational slogans on tea towels, and hailing a cab to come punch me in the face. Hello from the Magic Tavern is produced by Arnie Niekamp, Ryan DeGiorgi, and Evan Jacover. This episode edited by Chris Rathjen.
I'll take it from here, Mr. Fitzgerald. Music by Andy Poland, logo by Allard Laban, additional audio effects by Jason Knox, production assistance by Garrett Schultz. Well, the holidays are creeping up, but a river man's work is never done. We'll have a brand new Winter Solstice episode of Hello from the Magic Tavern debuting Christmas Day, and it's a special one too, with guests and songs and goodwill to all Foon's creatures. If you'll be traveling this holiday season, may I recommend a steamboat? And may you recommend this podcast to all your friends and family. It's the perfect companion on a day spent stuck in traffic, or at an airport, or on a disgusting steamboat. Don't forget to visit us at hellofromthemagictavern.com or on Facebook or Twitter. Thanks to the Chicago Podcast Co-op, and thanks to Earwolf.